What's it like playing to older crowds?
Well, it's just like quite boring because though you don't get to see the kids like jumping up and down to the music. You just see
it's like playing to old people.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Sometimes when you get a good crowd though, it does get hyped, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But not the hype that you're used to.
Yeah.
You want the hype. Archie, tell me about the girls. Tell me about the girls in Archie's world. I mean, you must be inundated with ladies. Killer Keller podcast. Killer Keller
official.com. Street Culture TV.
Beatbox created. Killer Keller. And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
Killer Keller podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Killer Keller podcast live and direct, Central London, or as central as you need to be, choose to be, want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else, believe that. And if you want more of that belief, you have to go to Kellervision app, free download, iPhone, Android, for your street culture, sports, and then some.
Our sponsors, the mighty GK Nifty Heads, have a massive 100,000 play-to-earn NFTs to give away to the streets. Just hit the link in the description or go to gkniftyheads.com and get ready for HODL Wars Summer 2024.
Some of you may have seen him trotting around the globe in the underage sector of drum and bass and beyond. It's an absolute pleasure to have him on, and I feel like this is going to be, when I'm 60 years old, he's going to remind me of what we did when he was, what, eight and a half?
Nine.
Archie inside the building! DJ Archie, come on! And Stuart, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, thank you.
I am gassed. I'm absolutely gassed. You're the youngest guest I've ever had on my podcast. How are you feeling, my brother?
Amazed.
You're amazed. Well, we've already had a chat, haven't we? You know, we've already set the worlds to rights. How is your world at the moment, Archie? Tell us a story.
Really good. Yeah.
Are you enjoying yourself at the moment?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on?
Load of stuff.
There is. You've been going out, gallivanting, doing raves way beyond our age range of wish lists as a young man.
Certainly.
Talk to me about the day in the life of Archie.
Well, normally I do practicing every day.
Do you?
Yeah.
To what level? Like just DJing for hours?
Not hours, no.
No.
Like an hour, half an hour, do a TikTok live.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? And you enjoy that? Because there's a lot of circuitry and a lot of equipment being used at the moment. So you just jump on that and new music and stuff like that. You're on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
What do your friends think?
They think I'm really cool and...
Don't doubt that for a second, brother!
And they always, like, all on my side whenever I fall over in the playground or something.
Yeah? What they're like, don't leave him alone. It's DJ Archie. Just pick him up. Put him on your shoulders, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They love that you're a DJ.
Yeah.
You do a lot of raver tots, don't you?
Yeah,
you do a lot of these events. And big up DJ Mills as well, and Charlotte Devaney, of course. They've championed you from the beginning. They love you, don't they?
Yeah.
And so what's it like being in those environments where you've got big sound and big party and loads of people watching you?
It feels like it's just amazing because I'm in control of the crowd and... stuff like that.
A rock star?
Yeah.
Rock star levels. Have your friends been to see you perform?
You've had a few, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing it a while now, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think a lot of it is like, yeah, we're going to bring them in for a little bit?
Yeah.
So the playground knows about it?
Yeah.
And then you become the cool kid. I see what you're doing. Come on, Archie. Stuart, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, I mean, you're the faithful confidant.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Dadager.
Dadager, there you go. See, that's the protocol we like. What's it like being with your pops and, like, it must be a blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah, it's good. It's good father-son time, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, even when we're at home trying to find new music and sit there listening to stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's really good. I mean, I'm just happy that he loves it the same way I do.
You've got to be in a pig in bits.
Yeah.
You really have. Because, completely. You know, when you've got this young man that has so much skill and a passion for drum and bass and DJing.
Yeah.
Or just plug in the coordinates, let's go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, I mean, you know, when you're trying to raise your kids, you think, I personally think, you know, to try and help them make the best of their opportunities, why haven't got the opportunity to do that themselves, you know? Mm. So that's all I've really been looking to sort of nurture within him is, you know, just to keep moving him forward. And if he's found something that he is really good at an early age, you know, he's just had a bit of a touch, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. You know, he may decide in years to come that...
He don't want to do it.
You know, he takes some other path, but at least, you know, we've made the most of the opportunity that he's had, you know, based on the skills that he showed me when he was three.
Skills. You know? Archie, let's talk about skills. Yeah. All right, so where does your head go when you're faced with the turntables... You're first with the decks and you've got the mixer and you've been given the songs to play.
Yeah.
Like, how do you formulate that? How do you work that in your head? How do you figure out what you're going to play and how that mixes and what you're going to press and do?
So my dad, when I was younger, he picked, like, colours out, and then when he goes like an L shape to me, it means levels to turn it up a little bit because I can't hear it.
Yeah, we've got a few. Like, obviously, you know, as he was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah,
that really all I was trying to teach him was the composition of the music. So, when he was sort of 3 and 4, he was mainly playing my set. So I made it a bit like Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. So there was different coloured markers.
Yeah,
that gave him instructions on what to do. You know, gave him the understanding of, you know, what's an intro, what's a build-up, what's a drop, what's a breakdown, all of those things. And then when he was 5, he just turned 5, I took all the colours away. And then he just did it, you know. So that was the...
Stabilisers off.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, because once those... Wow. You know, once he understood the phrases within the music, then that was sort of within him, then it became just a natural... timing.
Well, it's a creative formula. What you implemented there is creative formulas. So with colours, L, R, and working within that, Archie, you've got like this is like a creative education you've been given.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was just primary colours, you know, for certain actions like. Green for go, red for stop, you know.
But you know, that's
blue,
like, that's
blue
like
was a, loop, you know.
That's a student, that's a student, what's it called?
Like a syllabus. Type
syllabus,
thing.
Yeah, that's a syllabus of. In itself, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you still apply, Archie, do you still apply that now into some of your, if it gets really hard and you're trying to figure out something, do you go back to the colour scheme?
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Do you?
Only when I get a little bit stuck on, like, what I'm going to do on my transitions for the other song. Mm.
Yeah, or if there's a specific mix that we've, you know, we're trying to work out and you have to start it at exactly a certain point get that mix to work in that format, then maybe, but we don't do it often, do we?
No, not really.
No, it's, usually now it's just, he just cracks on and just,
on,
yeah, yeah. Just does whatever.
Archie, so... when it comes to the songs themselves, like how do you program the songs in an order? How do you figure out what sounds right?
Well, I've listened to like loads of songs that I've already mixed together. If I've done one at like another festival and it sounds really good, then I put that in a track order, and then I play them, and then I go into a different folder and try to find some more new ones.
Something to the same tone or pace.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, if you try mixing key, don't you?
Yeah.
You know,
I do,
the key of the music, obviously, if you're mixing in two songs of the same key, they're going to sound
they're going to
sound good together generally. Mm. So yeah, but I mean he just goes from what he remembers, you know. Yeah. If he's done a good mix in the past, he's like those two tracks worked really well together.
Mm.
Then on the new equipment, you can just tag them, so you can hit a tag, and then it starts building you up a tag list.
Yeah.
And then you can go in there and you start right. They're all your best tunes, and it kind of orders itself a little bit.
Got you.
But yeah, to be honest, he just Scoots around and looks and thinks, oh yeah, that'll work well. He uses a lot of his own intuition, really.
Yeah, of course, because there's a template. You have a template in your mind, right? So it's not just like there's a folder. You remember a mix you've done, and then you apply that template to that sound.
Yeah. Say I had like 100 songs, and they all sounded good. I would go like, I wouldn't start from the top and go down. Mm. I'll go in different orders, because then people will think, oh, he's just doing the same mixes, he ain't doing anything or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How important is that to you, Archie?
Really important, yeah. Mm.
Well, you want to make sure that every time it hits differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fresh, and it's fresh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, that's the biggest problem with DJs with the internet, where you're... mixes are always constantly out. Do you feel that there's a pressure to keep that going?
Sometimes and sometimes not, yeah.
I can imagine, like, the new songs make all the difference, right?
Yeah.
How often do you get new songs, Archie?
Oh, like...
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. Or people just wanting you to spin.
There's a lot of people that send this stuff. I mean, luckily, we've found some really, really good producers over the years that give him... you know, tunes before they come out and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, one of the good things about that is that one of the issues that we have is when you're streaming on things like Facebook and these sort of platforms, sometimes you get copyright claims and that mutes the track.
Yeah,
so when you're playing a lot of dubs, things that aren't released, you know it's not going to get muted.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really good for the streaming aspect of it.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? That's a really good point. Because if you, as a DJ, can't perform in clubs, like normal clubs.
Yeah.
So you're then focusing on the internet. So you're going to get the earliest dubs possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Which makes you the figurehead to get the dubs to quicker.
Yeah, and play them so the people get more promotion to the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Online more than anything.
Yeah.
Or the underage gigs, which will inevitably become the new audience.
Yeah.
He has started now to play a lot more sort of over 18 stuff.
Yeah.
We went up to Wolverhampton last week, and you were on a lineup with SASAS and Nicky Black Market, and that was an over 18s event.
I love it.
There's certain ways that you can navigate getting through the licensing of, you know, him being in an over 18s venue with child performance licenses.
Explain that. This is the technical bit, right, Archie? Archie just got shot like a rock star.
Yeah, basically.
Give me the techniques on that.
Yeah, so I mean, you have to apply to the council to get a child performance license, and then, you know, they have to have certain stipulations, you know, going in through the back entrance, having security with them, you know, this and that, you know, to make sure he's fully protected and that he's only going to be in there for the duration to be set, etc. You know, it's not like he's going to be hanging around or whatever with the sort of general population of the club and stuff. But, yeah, once you go through those sort of channels, then he's able to, you know, play over 18s. Stuff which he's now starting to do more regularly. So over the years we've done a lot of Ravertot stuff, but I think we've only got two of those this year.
Good, that's what we like to hear. Progression,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
progression. What's it like playing to older crowds?
Well, it's just like quite boring because you don't get to see the kids like jumping up and down to the music.
It's like playing to old people.
Yeah, basically,
yeah. Sometimes when you get a good crowd, though, it does get hyped, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But not the hype that you're used to.
Yeah.
You want the hype. Archie, tell me about the girls. Tell me about the girls in Archie's world. I mean, you must be inundated with ladies. Come on, let's talk about the ladies.
I can't really think.
Yeah, I don't bet you can't. I bet it's undisclosed, you understand? There's some things that are best left in the VIP rooms, right?
Gentleman never tells, isn't it?
Gentleman never tells. That's the truth. But have you thought about, you know, the long term of, you know, bringing Archie into the fold and then, you know, letting a swan be a swan, going off on tour. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I have no doubt you're going to be the faithful tour manager.
I can't wait for that. I mean, you've got some pretty big bookings this year. I mean, last year we did Glastonbury, didn't we? And
this year we've got Tomorrowland.
Yeah, Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that's going to be banging.
Yeah, that's the big show, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
do you feel the pressure, Archie? Do you feel the pressure of the youthful pressure, the little man pressure of having the idea of you're going to bring the next generation of drum and bass heads into drum and bass?
Yeah, sometimes.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Because you see, like, the older audience and the younger audience.
Yes, like Andy C, he's older than me and he's got, like, more followers than me. Because I'm just making my way up to his level, and then when I'll probably be, like, the top.
You will do.
Be up top, yeah.
Without question, you will be. Talk to me about that journey and the likes and the followers. How important is that from a social point of view?
Well, it's pretty important to me because, like, if our account got hacked or something, I wouldn't be really that happy.
Which it did the other week.
Oh, yeah. So it did.
Yeah. It was gone within about 30 seconds, and then I'm getting WhatsApp messages demanding £800 for the safe return of it. I'm thinking, yeah.
Do you see how important you are? Yeah. You got £800 ransom on your account.
Yeah, I mean,
don't doubt that for a second.
That particular account, though. That was the first one, the Instagram account was the first one that we started.
Yeah.
So it's basically like in chronological order over the last 6 years, his photo album. So luckily, they didn't delete any of the media and we were able to get it back using a selfie video. If they had deleted all the content, then we would never have been able to get it back. But obviously, they haven't got his face. So, yeah.
Such a high demand are you right now?
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. Yeah, I think perhaps there's a lot of pressure for young people and internet and the success, particularly if you're of the age where you're still on your journey to being, you know, the wider clubland. You know,
yeah.
It's quite a hard thing to, you know, to work through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that play on your mind a lot? Does it make you feel the way?
Well, sometimes it depends.
I can imagine so.
Yeah.
Because everyone's on social media now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that, Archie, do you think in your, you know, thinking future, do you think perhaps one day social media will take over clubland?
Oh, it's a hard question.
I know.
Maybe, I don't know.
Do you reckon?
Maybe with things like AI, I suppose, and, you know, virtual DJs, and you could be sitting at home with those new Apple glasses on, and you could be in an online venue, and you could be sitting there next to your friends, you know, interacting with them, but everyone's in different locations. You never know what's going to happen, do you, really?
Perhaps that's the future. Perhaps you're on the beginnings.
Yeah.
And when you get to the threshold of being able to go into bigger clubs, then maybe you're already ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You're ahead of it. And you don't need to go to the clubs because you've...
Mm.
Do you think about that, Stuart?
Not really. I mean,
it's worth considering, isn't it?
I certainly think about the opportunity that he's got to grow alongside his follower base.
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't that many people that have been able to start at sort of 3, 4, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And these kids, because we get emails, messages, phone calls from parents, you know, saying that, you know, my son's DJing now, my daughter's DJing now because we saw Archie online, really? And all of that sort of stuff. You get that every single week.
Pioneer. You're a pioneer.
Yeah.
You're pushing through the... You're pushing above what people expect, and their kids are getting involved. Your audience are getting involved DJing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's created a bit of a blueprint for younger DJs, you know, through the media that we've put online. It shows that it's possible. And that's a comment that we get a lot is, you know, thanks for showing, you know, my children it's possible, because I didn't think it would be. So, yeah, I mean, that's really quite nice, is the amount of other action that it's created, not just, you know, not just himself, you know, it's other people out there.
With the new audience that's been created because of Archie stepping up, Archie, do you feel like there's competition behind you?
Yeah, I feel like I do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, because there's these like people, they're trying to scratch and they're learning how to scratch and they're actually doing really good.
Really?
As a kid, yeah.
Really? Do you celebrate that?
Yeah.
Yeah? You rate it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You scratch?
Well, I can, but like not good.
No. Yeah. It's still progress.
It's one of your goals for the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Add that little string to your bow.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think for a lot of young parents and people that we know, not me, not a parent, you understand, but we understand the importance of tradition and taking club culture to that next level. And sometimes perhaps it's harder for to see the wood for the trees.
Yeah, sure.
Because we're so used to a certain way of understanding clubland.
Yeah.
And it's changing.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the venues that, you know, we used to go to as, you know, in our youth, starting to close down. You know, they can't, you know, they're not sustainable now, which is a bit of a problem, because there may not be that many venues for him to play at.
No.
I mean, it seems that you're starting to get these sort of mega venues that are starting to crop up again. But, you know, there's not really an abundance of, you know, 1,000, 1,500 person sort of clubs to play at these days.
Even 500, 300.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
They're closing at a rate of knots.
That's right. Yeah. And some of it's either a small amount or a seismic amount.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the same in the grime world and in the hip hop world as well.
Yeah.
You've kind of got to create your environment, which is something you were talking about. You've mentioned about doing, you know, creating an environment for
I've been thinking a lot over the recent months about and I'm building a business plan at the moment to have a mixed use venue. I think it's going to be called Academy, and I want it to be a bit like an arts academy, really. Mm-hmm. You know, have a venue space for people to use, and you can put parties on and stuff like that inside. But I'd like a graffiti studio in there, you know, for people to come in and teach kids graffiti. Mm. Have an area for teaching kids, you know, how to DJ and stuff. I'd like there to be a record shop in there, a coffee shop, you know, that type of environment as well, so people can sit there and listen to music, and, you know, both, you know, sales of vinyl and digital. And I think what we're lacking now is movement, you know, because everything's so accessible these days. You know, back in the day, I used to go up to the record shops, and I'd go to Boogie Times in Romford, or up to Black Market Records, go and sit there and, you know, 2 or 3 hours listening to music and trying to find tracks that not a lot of people had. You know, you're trying to get the test presses and the, you know, those limited sort of dub tracks that you know, in limited runs. So I think, you know, I've been speaking to a few artists and you know, potentially getting them to create like an Academy dub pack. Ooh, as an example.
That'd be so good.
That's something that's not sold online ever. You know, they'd have to come and purchase the you know, limited edition USBs, again, because kids haven't got anything to physically collect with digital downloads.
Yeah.
You know, so limited edition USBs and, you know, different colours and stuff.
That'd be so good.
Yeah, and that way people are going to sort of travel, and it makes it a lot more community-based, because the best thing about, you know, going to Black Market Records was going and seeing, oh, there's Brocky, and, you know, all these DJs that you don't get to, you know, within touching distance of, you know, to speak to, really, because they're in and out the back door and, you know, whatever, when they've done their set, you know, you're actually sitting there and you're selecting music with them, you know, at the same time. So
it's a very intimate affair, isn't it?
Yeah. So I certainly think it's something that will do very well. And yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out and the best way to do it, really.
You'll have an Archie tribe.
Yeah.
Archie tribe, all following you, mate. Yeah. All right, favourite DJ, Archie?
Andy C.
All day?
Yeah.
All day?
All day.
Second favourite?
Head X.
Okay, now we're moving. Third?
Boo.
There you go. Fourth?
Chaser Status.
Okay. Favourite song right now, Archie? Is it in our top three now? This is now we're into some deep territory.
Think about last night. What did you hammer last night?
Oh, I know. Cowboy.
Yeah, Cowboy.
Cowboy?
Yeah.
Cowboy boy who?
That's Dominator, isn't it? I think Logan, yeah. Logan sent that to you, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Favourite computer game? Fortnite computer game? Favourite? Favourite snack before DJing, Archie?
Pretzels.
Are you straight? What? Chocolate pretzels? Salt pretzels?
Salt, yeah.
Salt pretzels. Why?
Just tastes nice.
Tastes nicer. What nicer than chocolate? Nicer than white chocolate pretzels. You crazy?
No.
You like a salty snack, don't you?
Favourite after gig. Favourite after gig food.
What's that little ritual?
McDonald's.
McDonald's. Straight McDonald's.
Come on. After we've done the radio.
Like Krabby Chicken.
Krabby Chicken.
Crappy chicken. Like go to one of the worst chicken shops.
Chicken Cottage.
Find. Yeah.
Chicken Cottage.
And then it's nice.
There'll be some of my audience right now that will be contesting that the Chicken Cottage is the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We try and find the worst one, and it usually tastes the best, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they always work, don't they?
Yeah.
It does the job.
Yeah.
How many gigs are you doing at the moment? A week.
Well, you were on the radio yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah.
Because you're doing the radio stuff as well. That's
yeah.
right.
And you got one on Sunday.
Yeah.
Down in Bournemouth.
How do you guys keep up?
Well, to be fair, we try not to do too much. You know, obviously, I don't want it to become like a job for him,
right.
and sort of him burn out from it. So, you know, it's.
What do you do at home? Hold on. What do you do at home? What do you guys do at home when it's not DJing?
So I have music and I play Fortnite.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What do you do at home, Stuart? What's, you know, just regular family man? Or are you managing, you know, buy-sell,
FT index? No, regular family man. I mean, I do spend a lot of my personal time, you know, helping Archie, you know, whether it's sort of finding new music or, you know, planning up-and-coming events and stuff like that. So it's a reasonable amount of work that I have to do outside of the office hours. But
he loves it. Yeah. I just find it so fascinating.
It's time well spent.
Yeah, of course it is.
For sure.
Of course, because, you know, Archie, you go out there and you rock crowds.
Yeah.
What's your favourite show you've done up to now? The favourite show you've done? Where you go to a playground the next day and you go, brother, you won't believe what happened this weekend. What's your favourite show?
Oh, that's hard.
You've done so many.
You're 9 years old. You've done so many shows. You've done more than me at 9 years old.
That's hard.
I mean, my personal favourite was Glastonbury because it was something that we did together.
Glastonbury?
Know. Yeah.
Man done Glastonbury.
And Tomorrowland.
Well, this year we'll do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Done Glastonbury at 9. What have you done at 9 years old? Didn't write it.
That was at when I was 8 years old.
So you was younger then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is for some people to get to Glastonbury in their 30s?
It was hard enough for us, to be fair. Yeah, I mean, the only reason that we were able to do that was because he's under 12. Mm. You know, because the stage that we were on had a limited allocation of tickets.
Mm.
And I got his ticket. And because he was under 12, he got in on that ticket. So if it hadn't have been for that, his age, you know, being under 12, we probably wouldn't have been able to do it.
That's incredible.
Hopefully we're back on it again this year, and you know we can do it again because we had a good laugh. We were there all week.
Yeah, of course. I mean that's a week long pleasure tour of music.
Yeah.
What did you learn about Glastonbury though? What did you learn not to do?
Burn myself.
Yeah.
What?
I burnt myself.
He was whacking the fire. Yeah, and I said to him, I said it's windy. I said, don't whack the fire. So one of those embers is going to jump up.
Mm.
It'll go down your wellies or go, you know, or whatever. It'll stick to you. 5 minutes later, whack, jumped up on the side of his neck. And it looked like a love bite. Yeah, it does.
And it looked like a love bite.
Now it looks like.
And he comes back from Glastonbury, mum proud, seeing a love bite on your neck.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy that bit, did you? It wasn't fun.
No, but I don't do that.
Won't do it again, though, will you?
What's the most significant moment in your career so far? What is the thing you're just like, wow, I'm so happy I did that?
It's got to be when you were four.
I got my Guinness World Record when I was 4 years old.
What? What, youngest DJ?
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. So you're in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah.
What book is you're it? Up there with
yeah, Guinness, yeah, Guinness. Yeah, Guinness World
Records. You're up there with Harry Shotter. You're up there with Harry Shotter.
Yeah, he's got one as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, four years old and 130 days.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Where did you do the record?
Ravertots.
Where were we living? It weren't Ravertots. You were young. I don't expect you to remember much.
Yeah, I don't remember much.
It was in Hong Kong, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You were in Hong Kong?
Yeah, we lived there. Yeah.
You lived in Hong Kong?
Yeah. I was born in Dubai.
You were born in Dubai?
Yeah.
Serves you right. Well, yeah, it was fantastic you're here. But it sounds like you were well-travelled from a very early day.
Yeah.
So you were in Dubai, Hong Kong, and then you come back here to bless us with the turntables.
Yep.
Godlike.
Oh, wait, we can't forget one rave that we done. We done Germany, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. We went to Germany, yeah. Did a little festival out there.
How was that?
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, good.
How was the crowd? Was it good?
Yeah, there was like a skate park, and I found... So I met someone there while I was doing parkour before my set to get me warmed up and hype. And then they had a spare scooter, and then I said, can I use it for a bit? And then loads of people were skating around. Loads of people were crashing into each other. I was just circling around.
Wow.
Yeah, you had people trying to teach you how to teach you tricks on skateboards and stuff like that.
You weren't DJ, you were actually doing it.
No, yeah. This was before the set. Yeah, he was just racing around the skate park.
Wow.
And then you played for 2 hours, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was a long set, that one.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I think that was the longest one you've ever done.
Apart
from Stars and Deezer's birthday party.
Oh, big up Stars and Deezer.
Yeah, because he was young, but I think he played for an hour or so, and then we said, oh, you know, we were going to shoot off because we had a long drive home, and he was like, no, we're not going. He was like, really? I want to go back on. And he went on for another hour and a half. You must have been about five then.
But how do you program that? How do you figure that out in your head, Archie, that, yeah, I'm just going to do another hour? And, you know, obviously you've got enough folders going on and stuff, but you feel the energy and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Well, I was going to go home, but I was like thinking, nah, I'm not going home yet.
I'm not ready. You're not ready for me to leave and I'm not ready to go.
And I know Stars and Diesel wouldn't, like, say no because I'm a good DJ.
Yeah, I don't doubt anybody would want, you know, if Archie's in the building, it's like, ooh, we've got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's amazing, my brother. I'm so proud of you, and it's so awesome that you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And Godspeed, you keep on building up that career with your dad, you know.
Yeah.
Super important. What's the future, guys? What is the future?
I don't know,
go
really.
Go Ibiza.
Yeah, you want to go to Ibiza? You want to go to Ibiza? Well, yeah. Do you know what? I've never been, yeah, and... I had the opportunity to go a couple of years ago, and I kind of backed it because I knew I was going to get to go with him at some point, and I quite want to share that with him. You know, so it's both new to us both, but certainly somewhere where we need to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a little party on the beach.
Get your Ibiza trunks on and see where the music takes you. Right? Yeah.
The one in a submarine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bit of Pasha, all of that business.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of sherbets. Who knows what it'll do. Oh, man, absolute pleasure. Archie and Stuart inside the place for Killer Keller Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, my brother. And more speed. Let's get you back in soon.
Nice one.
100%. Yeah. Ally, it was out of fashion, are we? You know, another day in the street culture trenches. And, the youth is giving us optimism. We're in safe hands. Killer Keller Podcast, outlaying was out of fashion, all right? Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. You stay lucky, people. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Peace! That was. There we go. Just like that.